It's time now for Ag Day on WILO 2020. Our sponsors today include Co Alliance of Mulberry, Home National Bank of Thorntown, Lebanon, and Frankfort, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, and Indiana Farm Systems. Our telecast today at HoosierlandTV.com, brought to you by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, Probite Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, and Slabby's Food and Freedom. Join us until 2 o'clock this afternoon for Ag Day 2020 from WILO. Now here's your host, Melissa Miller.
Welcome back to Ag Day here on WILO. I'm Melissa Miller, your co-host with WILO. I'm the Ag and Youth Specialist, along with my cohort.
Hey, this is Adam Shanks from Purdue Extension. We haven't scared you away yet.
Yeah,
we get another opportunity this afternoon.
Exactly. We're going to be with you till 2 o'clock. We've got more guests coming on, talking about different areas of agriculture and some of the things that that we want to touch on that we think are not only important as far as we're concerned in our parts of the agricultural industry, but also just to educate everybody out there on different aspects of ag. We want to thank our sponsors for letting us put on our celebration of Ag Day. Co Alliance of Mulberry, Home National Bank with offices in Thorntown, Lebanon, and Frankfort, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Service Incorporated, Indiana Farm Systems, The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Wilson Farm Market, ProBite Computer Sales and Services. Also, a big shout out to Ellis Jewelry for our wonderful gifts that we have for our guests today. And a huge shout out to C&R Catering for feeding not only our staff, but also feeding our guests. And oh my goodness, if you guys have not had their food yet, you are missing out. These guys put on a fantastic spread. And yeah, I can't eat anymore. I don't know about you, but I am stuffed.
The elephant ear cheesecake.
No, meatballs was my thing. But yeah, you guys said the cheesecake was really good.
Better call them up and order a whole pan of elephant ear cheesecake.
I filled up on the meatballs, man. I love meatballs. That's my thing. So, and the mac and cheese was good too. Wow. Yeah, we can't say enough about C&R Catering. Wow, what a spread. And we want to thank them for that.
Yes.
We have, for the first time that I know of in the history of Ag Day and all the years that I've been involved with this, we have someone from the trucking industry, which is near and dear to my heart because
me
that's
too.
What my husband's done for years.
Yep.
And I
was in the ag commodity business.
Yes, you were.
For 10 years as well.
Yes, so. I think I have one of your trailers sitting at my house.
Yes, you do.
If I remember right. But we want to thank our guest, Rick Hall from Hall's Trucking, LLC, for coming in and being a part of this. This
Thank
is a
you.
First for us, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
What took you so long?
I don't know.
I know. This is something that everybody deals with every day and sees,
yeah.
but they don't understand the dynamics, and I'm really excited to have Rick here to talk about
right. I mean,
bring light to some of what's
you
going
see,
on out there.
You see the trucks going by there on the road all the time, and I know you, for the most part, are all commodity
correct. Yep.
Hauling. And by commodities, for those of you who are listening out there, we're talking about grain products and possibly feed products. I don't know. Do you guys do any of the fertilizer or anything at all?
Oh, we do not.
Okay. So, I mean, you see all the grain trucks going by, but I don't think anybody really realizes the challenges that are involved in putting these trucks on the road and everything that they have to go through. So, yeah, Rick, we're happy and thrilled that you're here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your business? I know you're family owned.
Okay. Yes. Of course, my name is Rick Hall, and I'm the owner of R. Hall Trucking Incorporated. I run this business with my sons. It's Daniel Hall, he's one of my drivers, part owner. Stephen Hall is one of my drivers, part owner. Michael Hall, I'm sure most of you know Michael around here.
Right.
He is now getting his CDL, and he's also going to be taking over some of the office duties for me. And then I have another family member, Rod Kaniski, who drives one of my other trucks for me. So we started this venture 3 years ago, bought our first truck, and so here we are today with four trucks running, operating on the road. I did this once before in the 90s. I started hauling grain. I learned how to do it when I worked with Joe Neal and okay. his son's farms.
That's right. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
Yeah. I learned how to do it there and never forgotten that. And I gave it up for a while, but my boys wanted to do this. So I said, all right, let's do it. This time we're doing it right. So far, we've been doing very good. Very
that's
well.
That's great. Family owned and family operated.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, Rick, we'll just work down through some questions that we had for you. You know, as a commercial commodity hauler, what are some of the biggest challenges for you right now, you know, looking down the road and working?
Well, we are starting to see things slow down as far as moving agricultural commodities. So that's becoming somewhat of a concern, but we're still staying busy for the most part. One of the biggest challenges that we have in, is when we go to suppliers, not so much suppliers, but grain processors, whether it be Lafayette, whether it be here locally in Frankfort, the number of trucks that are lined up to dump their loads can be just overwhelming. There are times where in Lafayette we would see 100 trucks lined up.
And that cuts into your bottom dollar because you can't get as many turns.
Absolutely. So you have a driver that's going to sit there for 3 hours, 2 hours sometimes. Today it was an hour and a half. He has a $200 load of grain on it. His pay is 30% of that. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, and a majority of these places, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, majority of these places where you're having all this sit time do not pay demurrage.
No,
for
they,
that sit time.
They do not pay detention or cover any loss of revenue while you're sitting there waiting. One of the local processors last year started to schedule trucks. They figured out how many trucks they could dump an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it was 15. So they would start scheduling 15 trucks an hour for the farmers or for commercial haulers. They would schedule that.
Sure.
So you were right in there and out in 40 minutes. And it worked very well. And they are still trying to establish that process and put it in place.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to see all of the other processors take some action there.
Follow suit.
To schedule trucks and not just have it a free-for-all. It's very frustrating for the farmers. If they have a contract that's 50,000 bushel and they have to get that in, and they're going over there and sitting for 3 hours, so they might get one or two loads a day. So
takes forever to get those 50 trucks in, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to take them a while. It's probably one of the biggest challenges we have to try to avoid that.
Yeah,
as often as we can.
I agree. I agree.
One thing that we've talked about at Purdue, and I don't know if it's going to come to fruition or not, but is maybe an app that you can look at on your phone, and it'll skim wait times from all the elevators. Would that be beneficial to you at all, or is your load pretty well dedicated to, hey, you've got to go to this elevator, not, well, the wait time, there's four trucks over here and 20 over here, maybe I'll go to the four. Would something like that be a benefit to you at all? Or,
well, there is an app. One processor does have an app, and it's called Wait Time. So you can actually go in there, and it has all their locations of every elevator that they have, and you select your location, and it'll give you a wait time. But that wait time is from the probe to the dump. It doesn't tell you the wait time before the probe.
Okay.
That could be out on the road.
Yeah, so it could be 50 trucks waiting to get in on the scale.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and plus you never know if there's a breakdown.
That's true.
You don't know, you know, once you're inside the gate, no matter what processor it is, you can't get back out because you've already scaled in.
You're done.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I know just in what my husband has to deal with, that wait time is the biggest thing.
It is.
And now, the majority of what you haul, do you haul from farm to the processor, or do you pick up at elevators or processor, or do both?
We do both. I would say the majority is from the elevator to the processor, but we do have some farmers that we work with.
Okay. And what are some of your challenges dealing between the two?
Well, with the farms, you can get into some very tight situations with your truck. You have to be very careful maneuvering and turning. It's kind of a science, really. You just kind of look at the place and you know, okay, well, I can't turn in. I may have to back in. I may have to pull all the way forward past the loadout or the bin and then try to back the trailer up to the side of the bin. So it's a lot of maneuvering. So you really have to think and be cautious.
So that's where your geometry and trigonometry, if you think it's not going to do any good now, kids, just wait.
Hopefully the farmer's got enough gravel there for you to swing around on.
Well,
and
that's
off into the mud.
Right, that's one thing. You have to be very cautious when you go to a farm because a lot of times they don't have the gravel that would prevent you from getting stuck. So we have gotten stuck several times. With the grain elevators, in comparison, they're very wide open, so you have plenty of room.
Mm-hmm.
All the lanes are well defined. A lot of them have concrete and asphalt. A lot of them are gravel, so there's no risk of getting stuck. With the grain elevators, they have a very nice, effective truck management system in most of the places. They give you a magnetic card, and once you pull in, you scan that card. It has all your truck information, or some of them even automatically capture your card, and mm-hmm. it just comes up. It gives you all your information. You just go right through to the scale. It dumps all your information electronically. They tell you where to go load. You load. You come back around. You probe. You go to the scale. It's all electronic. Your ticket prints out. You never get out of the truck. The only reason to get out of the truck would be to roll your tarp, and that's basically it. So they've really done a great job, most of the processors, in putting a very effective truck management system in.
Mm-hmm.
The next step to that would be nice if they'd focus on scheduling.
Yeah. I know where you're coming from on that.
Yeah.
They call 20 trucks to come in and haul, and all 20 trucks show up
at the same time.
Yeah.
That's efficient.
Yeah.
So, and on the farms, do you worry as much about coming off at 80,000? And do most of the farmers, do you just load yourselves, or are they there to load you? How does that work?
Most of the farmers are there to load us, to help us load. And we try to keep it down. I know hauling off a farm, you're allowed 8% over the 80,000-pound gross weight limit. So we try to maintain that. We don't want to go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to the boys, and they know not to overload those trucks. So we try to keep that 83, 85 if we haul off a farm. Grain elevators, you're restricted to 80,000. So if you are overweight, you go back around and you dump 500 pounds off or 1,000 pounds off. You come back around, you reweigh. So that can get a little time consuming too.
And obviously farms, probably most of them probably don't have the capability of offloading quickly. So I'm sure you err on the judgment of less filling than more.
Yeah.
For those who don't know how, like when you're loading off the farm, how to kind of gauge where you're at on your weight. Explain how you guys do that. I know how, just because of being in the business too. But
well, you can do it visually. After you get some experience and you know the difference, how much you can put on corn, how much you can put on beans, because there obviously is a different test mm-hmm. weight. The load is a little different. So our rule of thumb is two piles on the front hopper. So you start at the front hopper, put one pile, you pull up, put another pile, and then the back hopper, you put one big pile in the center. And we also have air gauges that are connected to the airbags mm-hmm. of the trailers, so you can watch that too. And once you get a load and you've got the proper weight, you can get out and look at your air gauge. Okay, for me to be at 80,000 pounds, then my air gauge on this trailer needs to be 62 PSI. So when you're on that last pile on the back hopper, you get out, and you just watch your gauge, and mm-hmm. when you get there, you yell at the guy to you know, shut the gate.
Shut her down.
Yeah, shut her down. Exactly. Yeah, I've overloaded a truck or two before.
And having smaller trailers sometimes makes that a little easier than Larry's ginormous trailer.
Yeah, yeah. My husband has the big 102 high-sided.
High-side, yeah. That can get you in trouble.
He did have. Now, we have gone to a little more standard trailer now with the one he's got now. But, yeah, he used to have the high-sides because he hauled a lot of soy hauls.
Okay. Yeah, and you would need a high side for that.
And he needed that because he hauled a lot of feed products into the big processing plants and stuff. So, but
put 80,000 pounds there. Put enough corn, 50,000 pounds of corn in one
of
those,
you
it doesn't look like there was anything in it.
Exactly.
You can't see it at all. So when you're loading with a grain trailer, that's not fun, believe me, off the farm. Do you guys get called? I know you get called to haul from the out of the bin and everything throughout the whole year, but do you guys ever get called from the guys in the field saying, hey, we are struggling to get this out of the field. Can you come and...
Sure. That has happened. Yeah. Yeah, we have gotten calls from farmers. I need a truck, and I need them here at this field, and here's our address. Can you do it? And, yeah, we'll be out there. So, yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, and that proposes a whole other set of challenges trying to pull out of the field.
Yes, it does. If you can park on the road, great. You want to stay out of the field as much as possible. So most of the time, when that does happen, we've managed to stay on the road, whether it's a gravel road or a paved road, and they can just bring their grain cart right up beside the trailer and load it that way.
I know it is not cheap to run a truck.
No, it is not.
And I couldn't even imagine running four trucks. At all. We run one now. At one time, we did run two until things slowed down there at the early 2000s. We had to park one. Talk to our listeners a little bit. You don't have to go in specific exact dollar amounts or anything, but tell them what it really takes to put a big rig on the road.
Okay. In order to operate a commercial vehicle, 80,000 pound vehicle. One of the things that you have to buy, of course, is either an Indiana base plate for the tractor or an apportioned plate for the tractor. Apportioned allows you to run interstate, where an Indiana base plate you can only run intrastate, which is in the state of Indiana. One plate for one tractor is $2,600 a year. You also have to pay a 2290, which is a heavy vehicle road use tax. That's due annually, and that's around $600 a year for each tractor. You also have to participate in the International Fuel Tax Association, or IFTA. You have to track all your miles, all your gallons, and you report that every quarter. You send that in to the Indiana Department of Revenue. And if you owe a tax, you pay a tax. If you get most of the time we break even. Usually don't get a refund, but usually don't have to pay because we're paying most of the tax at the pump. Insurance is has just gotten out of control.
It is
for big trucks. we were looking at hauling some freight for a local company, a company that I worked for 20 years. And that would require interstate. So we were looking at the cost of that. So I went to get my insurance quotes to do this, and they wanted $62,000 a year for three trucks. And all I was going to do was go to Rockford, Illinois. That was as far as we were going, and we were coming back to Frankfort, Indiana. So, you know, common sense says, no, you don't need to do that.
Right.
There's plenty of work right here.
Well, and I know you've probably run into this too, that depending on who you're hauling for, especially when you're hauling for out of processing plants and out of elevators and stuff, they require you to carry so much insurance.
Yes.
And every company is different.
Right.
So you have to go with the one that requires the highest amount.
Right.
So that everybody else under that is still covered, too.
Yeah. I've experienced that even with the grain elevators. You're required to have workman's comp on all your drivers, your employees. You're required to have, of course, your motor carrier, your cargo. You're required to have your collision and everything that you normally would have with an automobile. But again, insurance is probably 12% of our expenses. Fuel.
Yeah. Fluctuates.
Put it this
terribly.
Way, I can give you a dollar amount on this because it shocked me. Last year we spent $98,000 in fuel.
Yeah.
And that's just running locally.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. With Fort
Collins. That's running in state.
Yeah. I was going to say because we, dollar amount, $34,000 for one truck.
Yep.
Yeah. In state.
Yeah.
Local. Yeah.
No wonder everybody's trying to get to that 10 to 13 miles per gallon. you pick up a half a mile per gallon on a truck, it's a big deal.
Well, you're getting 5 to 6 miles per gallon
on one of those
trucks.
We need to do something different to our truck.
Tell Larry to stay out of the throttle so much.
Yeah, well, I gotta admit, it's a 2000 Freightliner. It's the classic. But it's got a big kitty cat in it,
mm-hmm.
And he gets, I think this last fuel tax ran 4.5 is what we were averaging on the fuel taxes. Now the one thing, part of that fuel cost, like you said, is the fact that the fuel taxes are now incorporated into the price, depending on where you go to pick up your fuel.
Right.
But it's incorporated now into the price, whereas before.
We had to pay
the taxes at the end of the quarter on 16%, 16% tax.
And actually, that made things easier to manage.
I think so. It's not really breaking my heart a bit.
So what we did is we started looking for ways, any business that's going to be successful, you're going to look for ways to cut your costs. So you want to do some cost reduction. So we were very fortunate, and we got in contact with a company called RTS, and it's Fleet One.
Mm-hmm.
We now have fuel cards for Fleet One, and instead of using our debit cards that we were using for the business for fuel, now we use the fuel cards. We are now getting a 47-cent per gallon discount off the pump price.
Mm-hmm.
In some places. So that's huge.
That's a good savings where you can.
Every time you would swipe your company card, you were paying a 6% on top of that because you swiped the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I know convenience fee. Yeah, convenience fee for that. I know for us, same type of deal. Finding the discounts, especially we get a lot of cash discount because we found out that they'll actually take a company check before they'll take the debit card and give you a cash discount because they consider that piece of paper.
That's right.
A discount compared to the plastic. It's crazy that's the case. But same type of deal. Get a discount for paying that way too.
But right now I love the fuel prices.
Oh yeah, yes.
I love it. It's the lowest I've seen in decades.
You guys make some money, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
What about? I mean, as far as maintenance, brakes, tires, airbags. I mean, does that eat into the budget a lot, or is that more of a minimal cost? Where do you sit on that kind of thing on Ford trucks?
Well, I would say last year those repairs and parts were probably 15% of our expenses.
So that's right up there with the insurance.
Yeah, that's close. Well, you're paying $300 a tire.
Mm-hmm.
You got 18 of them,
mm-hmm.
And when they wear out, you have requirements that you have to meet on tread depth.
Yep.
Where your drive tires is 2/32. If it's below that, well, you get a DOT inspection. And you get a fine for it.
Yep.
Your steer tires. They're more expensive, and it's 4/32 tread depth. So once you get down to that wear point, you have to start replacing them.
Yeah.
Airbags.
God forbid there's an accident,
yeah.
and they come back in your tread depth below par, and then there's a big problem.
Yep. Airbags, we probably went through 5 airbags last year. And then we had some other costs and repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we service our trucks every 3 months. Regardless, so that's about $300 for an oil change.
Yep.
How many times do you get? Once a year, twice a year, put new drums and brake pads on, or is that?
No. Last year we did 2 trailers, new drums, new brakes. We're probably good on those trailers for about 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, good drivers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they're part owners, so they're going to take extra care of the drums.
Usually, if anything goes on the brakes, it's usually the actual chamber. that goes on
pancake,
ours. The pancake goes out, and we have to replace that. But yeah, that's, I'd say 15 to 20% is about average for repairs. It pretty well annually, like you said. By the time you get done rotating tires, and depending on how many miles you put on, how well those tires hold up.
Yeah.
Have you found like different? Yeah, maybe poking the bear here, but have you found different brands actually work better for you? Because you're like us, gravel, dirt, pavement, and not good pavement, because you haul, you know, all from all aspects of it.
Right.
So your tires aren't interstate tires. You have to have something a little heavier.
Right, you do. We found a Hankook tire for our trailers. It has a very narrow tread on it, and you don't pick up the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a problem, is these tires will pick up rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have somebody with a broken windshield. So those tires are special, and we've been buying those so we don't pick up the rocks on the trailers. Because people's behind you, rock comes out. And actually, my son, somebody pulled in front of him one time and slowed him down and stopped him on the road and said, "You just broke my windshield." And he said, "Well, I didn't break it. The rock came out of the tire and hit your windshield." So they exchanged some information, insurance information, and they went on. So that can be an issue. I actually had to replace two windshields in one of my tractors where a dump truck, the gate was open, and rocks were flying out, and it busted both my windows. So.
Yeah, we had that happen to us, too.
Yeah, you have to be careful around these big trucks.
Sure,
yep.
Sure. All aspects. I know. Part of the deal with, especially hauling commercially, different than for someone hauling from their own farm. Talk about the driver requirements, because I know they're a lot stricter on an over the road and a commercial hauler than what they are for right now, for Adam to jump in a semi on his family farm than what it is for you to jump in one.
Right. Well, of course, we're all required to have a commercial driver's license, which is a class CDL for an 80,000-pound gross weight vehicle. Every driver has to have a DOT physical every 2 years. They are subject to random drug and alcohol testing. And this is something that has changed. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association, or the FMSCA, has put out a new website, and it's called a consortium. It's a clearinghouse. I'm sorry. It's a drug and alcohol clearinghouse website that everybody that has a DOT number should have already been signed up in there as a carrier. What prompted this, in my mind, is the states have legalized medical marijuana and some recreational marijuana. Well, the federal government hasn't legalized anything. So their concern was that a lot of the truck drivers are now going to be using...
Yeah, especially over the road.
Over the road.
Yeah.
They're going to be using marijuana. So this was their efforts to control that and deter that. And now every motor carrier has to sign up. All your drivers have to be listed in this federal government website. Drug test and alcohol test activity has to be input into that website. And anybody can go in, if you register, anyone can go in and pull up a driver's record for drug and alcohol. It's a small fee to see that. So if you're going to hire a new driver, you can actually go into that website and check that driver's records before you even consider hiring him or giving him a drug test. Drivers are also required to carry logbooks. They have to record their time. Fortunately, as an agricultural commodity transport company, we run 150 air mile radius. So we just have to track our hours. Every day they'll write down their start time and their finish time, and you can't be over 12 hours on that. They have to do their vehicle inspections. They check out their vehicles before they start in the morning. I hope they do. They're supposed to. So you have to have those documents with you at all times. in case you get a roadside inspection. So there's a lot to it. You know, drivers are required to communicate with the grain elevators, communicate with the farmers. They manage their truck. All I do is dispatch them.
Right.
Okay, here's the loads. Here's where we're loading today. Here's where we're dumping today. They open at 7 a.m. They close at 4 p.m. here where you're loading. They close at 5 p.m. where you're unloading. Manage your day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're responsible for that.
I know it's a lot, and I hate the fact that we're
running out of time.
Yeah, I hate that because we still, you know, there's still more we could definitely talk about.
Lots of questions.
Definitely. And we're going to have Rick back on.
I think so.
We need to. We got time for the last one. Yeah, we got time for the last one. But we're going to have him on an episode.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Go out and do a walk around live.
Yeah.
And show us how to do a log.
That would be fun.
That would be
cool.
And all that stuff. So yeah, go ahead.
So we've asked everybody this. There's a lot of information and we want to end on a positive note. So tell us, Rick, what excites you, what gets you out of bed and going every morning when it comes to your business?
I think what excites me most about the business is working with my sons. I mean, that's something that a lot of dads don't get to do. And watch them grow and watch them learn the business because, you know, this is going to be their business soon. And so I want them to learn all that they can, and I teach them all that they can. And so it's exciting to watch the business
grow. That's fantastic.
To develop it. And we're always looking for new opportunities. The boys are always scouting for new opportunities. So
Sure. They're
right there in the mix, too. And they want this to succeed. So, yeah,
I guess that's getting the game for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I want to thank you, Rick, for coming in. And I enjoy talking. This is one of the subjects I enjoy talking about just because.
We kind of enjoy it, don't we?
We do. We enjoy all of it. But I do enjoy talking about this part of it because a lot of people kind of forget about it. And they forget, unless they're in it, they forget that the drivers of the trucking industry are in it, and if it wasn't for them, then agriculture wouldn't be what it is today, because they have to get it from the field to the processor, to the elevator, and the elevator to the processor, and a lot of people forget about that.
And it's not an easy task for them.
No, it's not. There's a lot of challenges to it.
A lot of quote-unquote roadblocks along the way.
Yes, definitely. Roadblocks.
You're right. So, but thank you, Rick, for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Oh, we appreciate it.
We'll have to get with you again soon.
All right.
You're listening to Ag Day here on WILO. We want to thank our sponsors again for letting us be here. Co-Alliance at Mulberry, Home National Bank of Thorntown, Lebanon, and Frankfort. Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Service Incorporated, Indiana Farm Systems, The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Wilson Farm Market, ProBike Computer Sales and Service. Of course, a big shout out to Ellis Jewelry for our gifts for our guests. And also, C&R Catering for feeding us excruciatingly well. And I mean that in the best way. So for WILO and Ag Day, hang around. We'll be back.
Co-Alliance LLP is a partnership of five co-ops serving Indiana.